Hello, Onesers, and welcome to the latest episode of Storybook Library Podcast. I'm Candace, and today with me are Caitlin.
Hey.
And Krista.
Hey.
And today we're talking about Her Handsome Hero. Okay, let's first start with the good. What did you guys like about this episode?
I loved getting more Belle backstory. I love Belle, and she's a character that kind of gets the shaft a lot. So it was nice to see some of her history and her pre-Rumple history. And also, it was great to see a Belle-centric episode that she didn't have to share with a guest princess. Because I feel like most of the time, the show really likes to pair up Belle with, like, Ariel or Princess Anna or somebody else. And it kind of takes focus off of her. So it was nice that this was very focused on just Belle.
You're right. That's Mulan, Merida, Anna, Ariel.
I mean, this show is basically just Disney fan fiction, and Belle is probably the most recognizable Disney princess in their main cast, so I think they just like to pair her up with other recognizable Disney princesses.
What I appreciated about this Belle-centric was that it worked with her character and with, like, what we know about her. You know, she struggles to be the hero, and she wants to make those good decisions, but I thought everything in the past really worked with what was going on in the present. Versus, say, her one in the Frozen arc, where just the things that were happening didn't really make sense with her character and kind of seemed out of left field.
Oh, I just want to give props to the costume designer, because she did not look pregnant at all. And the camera people, they did a great job hiding the pregnancy.
She was like 7 months pregnant when they were filming that, and you totally couldn't tell.
Okay, what do you guys think of the new Gaston? It's a different actor than who was there in Skin Deep.
I appreciated that in the previously on bit when they had some scenes from Skin Deep, they went back and refilmed it and edited Wes Brown into those scenes. I liked him. I mean, we didn't really see the previous Gaston for more than, what, 2 scenes that he was in. And he didn't really leave much of an impression with me. But I thought this actor was a little more Gaston-y, you know, like more in line with the Disney movie character.
He definitely looked the part, and you could easily believe that he was that character.
But okay, the bad. What was not so great about this episode? This episode was pretty solid.
I thought it was a pretty good episode all around. It was definitely, I think, one of the best ones this half season. Like, I was entertained the whole time. Even the kind of side stories, I mean, they weren't amazing, but it was nice, once again, that everybody had something to do. Like, it felt pretty balanced.
Except poor Robin, who is off in the woods with Peanut.
And that's what you said last podcast. You said that the only reason they wrote that line in was so that they could just get him off the screen for a couple episodes, and you were right.
No Robin this week.
What I don't understand is how does the forest different than any other part of the underworld for Hades?
And I felt like Hades had pretty good surveillance and, like, knew where everybody was, but apparently it's real easy to hide from him in the underworld. So, like, what kind of god is he?
He is a lovelorn god who made some of the most ridiculous faces when he was watching Zelina walk off. He just had this little face of, oh.
Can we talk about his delivery of the word baby?
That was so creepy.
Just that whole scene with him and Belle where he's, like, touching her belly and saying, "You're a baby." It's like,
especially since Emily's actually pregnant. Right.
Oh, it was so creepy. I petitioned for Hades never to say the word baby ever again.
Well, in this show, that's not going to happen.
There's 47 babies. Can we talk about, like, Rumple and Belle's dynamic in this episode? Because I really enjoyed it. I feel like so often with them, it's either, like, some big separation is happening or some big tearful reunion is happening, and you never just get to see them kind of interact when one of them's not dying or something like that. So it was fun to just see them kind of bicker and argue and have these different approaches to things. Like, Rumple wants to use dark magic and Belle wants to help Gaston move on, and they're kind of butting heads over it. And they had some really funny dialogue, and both Robert Carlyle and Emily Duravin have really good comedic timing. So they play off each other so well. It was really funny.
Yeah, and I don't think we've really had that since, I mean, since any of the, like, the Dark Castle flashbacks. I think that's when you really got to see the two of them in their element and in their relationship, you know, bickering, like you said, with each other and kind of arguing their different viewpoints. And there just hasn't been time in Storybrooke for a lot of that. Usually it's, you know, imminent danger, they're yelling at each other, somebody's losing their memory or getting pushed across a town line. So it was fun to have that, like, witty dynamic between the two of them.
And even though that their baby is still, like, Hades property, I think as a couple, they're in, like, the best place they've ever been.
Yeah, there's, like, no secrets left between them. Even, you know, that Rumpel killed Gaston, which is something that Belle hasn't known for the past 30-something years. Like, even that's out in the open. Like, I feel like there's nothing that she doesn't know at this point.
And they both pushed their exes into the water.
Which is totally a bonding moment for them. I liked the scene between Regina and Zelina in the diner. And we haven't ever really seen them interact in a way that wasn't antagonistic. So it was kind of nice for them to have like that sisterly talk. I think Regina even says something like, for once, can we just be sisters? And Regina has kind of a ulterior motive in talking to Zelina about what Hades' weakness possibly is, but I thought it was like a nice little moment, and you could see like the starting of Zelina maybe wanting something more beyond just ruining Regina's life. Like, she's realizing that's not going to bring her happiness.
They're going to try to redeem her. They have a long way to go.
Yeah, I need to see some sort of remorse for her for what she did to Robin.
She also was going to sacrifice a baby.
Yeah, I mean,
She stole
little Neil.
Even though his parents obviously don't care about him.
Hey, they haunted him last episode. They care.
Okay, speaking of baby Neil's parents, well, half of them.
Yeah, Charming didn't have much to do this episode.
Except tell Emma that you better listen to your mother.
Who actually is being more like Snow than usual. Like, I was hoping that when they had that whole storyline a couple episodes ago of her being like, I don't want to be Mary Margaret anymore, I want to be Snow, that they would keep with that. And I felt like she was more authentically Snow this episode, even though she just had a few lines.
Yeah, she didn't want to be left behind when Emma and Huck were going to the gravestone. She wanted to help. She wanted to use your bow and arrow and go after the beast that was chasing them. So she did feel very Snow-ish. And then she gave one of her patented hope speeches as well.
Exactly.
Which, speaking of that, I loved Jennifer Morrison's delivery of the line. Like, I don't have any issues. It's like, really, Emma? Really?
Emma finally says what we've been all thinking. Well, not thinking. We've been saying it.
This was a terrible plan.
You brought your child to the underworld.
I mean, it's not just that it was a terrible plan, it's that there was no plan. It was like, Hook died, and 20 minutes later, they all went to hell. It's like, they didn't take 5 minutes to think things through or come up with an exit strategy, or even like...
read a book?
Pack provisions? I don't know. It seemed like they could have put a little more thought into it, and left Henry at home.
I mean, he was already dead, so if they had taken a day, 2 days to plan, like, he wasn't going to get deader. So, I mean, they really should have taken time to plan this better, maybe look some things up in some books, you know.
Ask Belle, she's probably read something.
But guys, there was only 5 minutes left in the episode. What else?
Snow was like, well, we all wanted to come with you, we all volunteered to come with you. And I was like, Rumpelstiltskin might, like, take issue with that.
I just wanted them to cut to Regina when Snow was saying that, and Regina be like, kinda.
So the thing that's chasing them isn't quite a thing. It's actually Ruby.
Ruby!
Yay!
No, does that mean Ruby's dead?
I don't think Ruby's dead. Apparently it's real easy to get to the underworld these days. The only person in the underworld who's actually dead is Hook. And Gaston. Now Gaston's, like, double dead.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
thought you needed Dark One's blood.
No, you need the blood of someone who has been to the underworld and returned.
So she could be on a quest to find somebody or something, or she could be dead, but...
instantly, like, Snow's like, looks, she smiles when she sees Ruby. I'm like, no, do you know what it means when you see someone here, you idiot?
Yeah, I mean, good to see you, but you're dead.
And let's go back to Belle and the end of the episode. Belle's always been talking about being a hero, but you know what? She's not the only one. Snow does it. Robin does it. It must be like an enchanted forest thing about being a hero.
I think they're just raised with those ideals. Like, you're either a villain or you're someone who's a hero. And it seems to be very black and white for a lot of them, especially Belle. I mean, even though she's had this relationship with Rumpelstiltskin, who's very morally gray a lot of the time, she still has these kind of pretty strict ideas of what's right and what's wrong and what you can and can't do to save someone or get something done. And I think that was kind of tested by the other day's episode.
Well, and we get an idea of where she gets her definition of a hero is from her book, Her Handsome Hero, which is the title of the episode as well, that she says heroes are heroes because of compassion and forgiveness, which kind of really explains Belle, because she's definitely the most forgiving person on the show. You'd have to be to marry Rumpelstiltskin. But it was very interesting to see her. Throughout the episode, the back and forth with Belle and Rumpelstiltskin was him saying that sometimes you have to do dark things for good reasons, and Belle wants him to turn his dark magic into light magic, but he's like, I can't do that, but I can use dark magic for light. And at the end of the episode, we see that Belle has to make a choice and do something that she would consider dark in order to save Rumpel, push poor Gaston into the River of Souls.
He was kind of evil himself.
Yeah, I mean, she saved his life, and then he immediately still tried to kill Rumpel. And he tortured that poor baby ogre back in the Enchanted Forest.
Yeah, that's a red flag. Did you guys have a WTF moment in this episode?
Well, at the very end of the episode, I think it was the last scene, we see Zelina get a little token from Suter in the form of a shriveled up dead daisy, which... I that whole relationship is so creepy to me. He was stalking her at the beginning of the episode, and he sends her dead flowers at the end of the episode. I'm just like, Zelina deserves better.
Well, there was another WTF moment, at least for me, was when Gaston goes into the pawn shop, and obviously you know it's not Rumpelstiltskin he's about to kill, but what was surprising was that it was a mannequin that looked like Rumpelstiltskin that fell to the ground, and I just wondered, where did that come from?
Well, Belle set it up, but Belle had time to find a mannequin and dress him up like her husband?
Like, had she been practicing at home? Like, what?
He wasn't even just a mannequin, because he seemed, like, really ambulatory. Like, it wasn't a stiff mannequin. It was very lifelike. And then also found a suit and a Rumpel wig.
So, like, it begs, like, the question, like, did Pan have this, you know, in the shop already? Like, why was this here?
That actually wouldn't be surprising, considering what is in Pan's shop.
I mean, the alternative is that Belle has a fully ambulatory Rumpel doll that she brings with her places. The presence of that doll I don't think the writers fully thought it through. They're like, oh, we'll just put a fake Rumpel in there. That's a Belle thing. She'll fake him out. But it's like, where did it come from? We need to know.
Because clearly it's not in the real storybook. Because if you think back to the episode where Merida was enchanted and chasing after them, like, they didn't put up a fake doll then. So it has to be something that's only in the underworld.
Yeah, that would have been handy with the Merida thing.
Right?
Just imagining it being used as a bear chew toy.
Yeah!
And that's all for this week. Follow us on Tumblr. We're storybooklibrary.com. I'm Candace.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Krista.
Later, Oncers.